Blog Talk Radio.
Freedom is never free. It is always paid on the backs of those who march, fight, negotiate, and die for our rights. From the birth of America to the civil rights movement, the cost of freedom has been staggeringly high. And the cost of justice and fairness exacts an even higher cost. Today marks the beginning of a week of tributes to the foot soldiers who paved the way for freedom and justice in the civil rights movement. This weekend commemorates the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, and next Wednesday marks the 58th anniversary of the brutal murder of Emmett Till. This December marks the 58th anniversary of the beginning of the Montgomery bus boycott. All of these events come 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, reminding us that our fight for freedom never ended. Our special guest today, Deborah Watts, will share her family story as she leads the organization that keeps her cousin's memory alive, the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. And then we'll pay tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King, Dr. Ralph David Abernathy, Dorothy Height, A. Philip Randolph, and all of the 250,000 foot soldiers who defied the odds at the 1963 March on Washington. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thanks so much for listening. It's August. Yesterday was my 60th birthday. I am feeling really good. I thank everyone for those wonderful greetings. I have hundreds of them on my Facebook page and elsewhere, LinkedIn and Twitter. So, again, thank you very much. 60 is definitely the new 40, and I'm going to live every moment of it. Don't plan on retiring anytime soon. So, again, thank you so much. This is a really important show. Last week we talked about the incident that happened in Switzerland with Oprah Winfrey being sort of dissed in a very high-end boutique where she was not allowed to see a very expensive purse, and she walked out of the shop a little miffed about what had happened. We sort of tied that in with the use of the N-word by Paula Deen and how that showed its ugly head in a court testimonial that she participated in, and she had to admit what was said, and it cost her business-wise. So here we are now, just talking about things that just continue to pop up over and over again. I'm saying greatly linked to the struggles of the 1800s, and I really urge everybody to read the book A Team of Rivals that was written by Doris Kearns Goodwin. It's a very large book. It's over 700 pages long. I know how short span our memory banks are and our attention spans and our time happens to be now. So you can do like I am doing. You go to the library and get the unabridged version and just take your time over the next couple of weeks and read it. But it is a real opportunity to crystallize all of the factions that were going on in the 1820s, 30s, and 40s. And some of you are saying, why are we talking about that? That's all over with. Well, it's not over with. When you look at the contentious behavior, the whole passion around states' rights and how that led into the discussion and the ultimate battle over slavery that then led to the 1863 Emancipation Proclamation, and then you fast forward 100 years and then 150 years, you are basically talking about the same struggle in different locations, different events, but this whole topic about social justice, fairness, and equality rearing its ugly head, whether you're talking about Emmett Till or Trayvon Martin or Oprah Winfrey or Paula Deen. It is all interrelated. And it's the kind of discussion that I think is extremely important that I'll continue to have on this show. I'm really honored to have a friend and a colleague of many years who was on the show with me. Her great-grandfather and the great-grandfather of Emmett Till were brothers, and this was her cousin. And I'm just happy to have, for just a quick while, Deborah Watts on my show, who is the executive director of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here. And happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You are in Minnesota. This all started in Chicago in 1955, then sort of made its way down to Mississippi as your cousin was going to visit. Quickly tell us what happened on August 27th, around that time period, 1955, that has made your cousin so famous.
Well, you know, unfortunately, yes, as you mentioned, he was visiting relatives in Money, Mississippi, and happened to accompany some of our cousins to a store owned by two local store owners there, the Bryant family. And it has been a myth, but it has been proven to be true that upon exiting the store, Carol and Bryant was also outside of the store at the time. Emmett actually whistled at her, and it was coined as a wolf whistle, not understanding the rules and the laws and the mores of the South, and not understanding that was something that he should not do, and warned by cousins who later. I guess just exited the premises as quickly as they could, but not explaining anything to their relatives a couple of days later, that a fateful evening he was actually kidnapped from his uncle's home and taken out, beaten, lynched, shot, and then thrown in the Tallahatchie River. And mind you, Emmett was a 14-year-old, young, vibrant young man who was just full of life and full of, I guess, just, wonderful character, but, someone that had the love of life, yes. So that happened on August 28th, 1955.
Right. And again, we have younger listeners who are tuning in, who are going to download this show. I know what this is all about. You do. Those of us who are in our 50s and 60s, we understand that. But for younger people, thinking about a 14-year-old boy just happening into a store, buying some bubble gum, I believe, and then whistling at a very pretty woman who happened to be white, we're talking about 1955. That was an absolute no-no in the South. And it literally cost your cousin his life. Can you just real quickly paint the picture of the time and the era that this came out of and why this was so significant for your family?
Well, and this is an important question that you raised. I recently was showing a documentary that the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation is showing across the country, and it's called Who Killed Emmett Till? And I'll tell you, many folks that are not in the South don't understand, and it's just hard for them to wrap their arms around that era of time and what was happening actually in the South. Because in the North, there were different things that were happening, but not as quite as blatant and hate-filled as it was in the South. But that era of time, you barely could look at a white person in the face. You had certain things that you had to do, get off the sidewalk if you're walking on the same sidewalk with one. You were a servant, if you will, and very subservient. That was the expected behavior that you had around all white people, men, women, and children. And I would imagine that, that's a difficult thing for someone not raised in that environment with laws that were working against you, written laws along with unwritten laws like the Jim Crow laws that were practiced by not only the residents there, but also practiced by the law enforcement officers and sheriffs of several of those counties in the area. So it was a difficult time, I think, for those that were in that area, but then also a very unimaginable time that folks that were not raised in the South or in that area, they just can't imagine having to operate that way on a daily basis.
Right. And that's why I'm urging my listeners, and I will continue to do this, to read these kind of historical books like A Team of Rivals so that you can understand the context of why this happened and why this legacy was literally passed down from slavery, and the entrenchment of feelings and attitudes, not just in the South, but certainly in the North, that caused the Civil War. And so, again, I'm going to push back on those who are going to say, that happened so many years ago. Well, the implications and the impact are actually being felt today, and it certainly was felt 50 years ago with your uncle's, your cousin's unfortunate demise. There's a picture that I have with my blog that's on my website. For those of you who are just tuning in from a blog talk perspective, you could go to my website. You can read all about Emmett Till. You could read about the Legacy Foundation as well at tellcarol.com. Go to the blog page, and then you'll be able to pull it up. How are you commenting on those who are comparing Emmett Till's death with the death of Trayvon Martin, Deborah Watts?
Yes, well, I know, there's been some controversy around it, a lot of discussion, which is really healthy, I think, in today's time, to talk about a time, back in, 1955 and bring that to the forefront today, 2013, 2012, with the death of Trayvon Martin. Although their murders were different, the time and the injustice, I believe, is the same. It's great to discuss these things. It's great to challenge each other on these things because the laws need to be explored as they were in 1955. They need to be reexamined, and we need to take a closer look at them in order for them not to have the inequality in the laws, the justice system and those things that we experience today, the early incarceration of our young people for minor infractions, and just the whole jail and penitentiary industry that is flourishing with many of our young people, and they're with the early frisk of the stock and frisk that's taking place. And so there's a lot of things that are happening that are creating, I'd say, the similar environment, very different kinds of things, but similar environment. But I do agree. I agree with Oprah, and I agree with others, because if you listen closely to what they're actually saying, it's that feeling of helplessness, that feeling of injustice. Although, yes, we have a black president, we are not in a post-racial society. There are many things that are still and that are systematic in our country, unfortunately, and I'll tell you, I'm embarrassed to even say that sitting here today in 2013, where we should be celebrating, the lives and the accomplishments of many who have strived and who fought and who have risen above, but there are still many that are below. There are still many that are in this helpless kind of environment where we have joblessness, we have homes that are being lost, we have the middle class in our country that's disappearing, if you will. So we still have and still face those kinds of things. We have corporate America where we still have some things that are occurring there that I wrote in my book in 1998, 101 Ways to Know You're Black in Corporate America. And our country, fortunately, we have a number of other immigrants, that are moving and thriving within these environments that are starting to see and feel and face the same kinds of things that we faced all along, but that we also faced back in 1955 and during the era of Emmett Till. But the most important thing is that Emmett's mother, Mamie Till Mobley, stood up. And she wanted the world to see what happened to her son. She wanted the world to see how hate was transformed and how the injustices were transformed and how the discrimination and racism was transformed. Same thing with Trayvon Martin's mother and father. I applaud them. In fact, Carol, we gave an award to Sabrina Fulton in March. It's called was at our Loving from the Inside Out Women's Empowerment Symposium, but it's the Women of Courage Award. That takes courage in order
right.
to recognize what with the demise of your child at the hands of someone who is exerting power, same thing within it, exerting their own power, whether it's the Stand Your Ground laws and other things, that's a power over another
right.
human being and where you can
right.
take their life. Same thing with the Jim Crow law. So I know that there's a lot of differences. I know that there are many similarities. And I think the discussion is very healthy, but I think we need to recognize that the elephant is in the room and he's exposing himself. And this is unfortunately a part of the DNA of America, racism. And we need to call it what it is, be comfortable around it, but work really hard to not allow the ugly parts of our past to become the present.
So true. We were talking about Mamie Till, the mother of Emmett Till, who boldly and courageously back in 1955 said, yes, I wanted an open casket. Yes, photographers, please come take pictures. And so the picture that is on my blog is the actual picture of Emmett Till's face following the finding of his body. He was actually found in a river near Money, Mississippi, and when he was exhumed and then put in the casket, his brave, courageous mother said, yes, please take pictures. So that picture actually ran in Jet Magazine. You can Google it, and you can see the actual article from Jet Magazine, and it literally shocked the entire world. I said,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness, how can this happen? And that was the birth, that was really the birth of the civil rights movement, those kind of incidents that took place during that time. Deborah, can you give us your website, give us information about how we can find out more about the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation?
Yes, thank you, Carol. Yes, we are at www.EmmettTillLegacyFoundation.com. Also, we can be found on Twitter. You can follow us at Emmett Till. And then also, we are on Facebook. We have Emmett Till Legacy Foundation Facebook page, along with, Carol, an important movement. You mentioned young people earlier. And without them, we don't move forward. We don't move beyond some of the tragedies. We have to educate them, and we have to understand the past in order to not repeat it in the future. We have a movement that we help young people to launch, and it's for the nation, if you will, and for the world. And it's called the Never Again Movement and Pledge, and there's also a Facebook page for that, too. People are actually taking the pledge, taking photos, and posting their photos on that Facebook page. And we think that it is important that we get our arms around what's happening now and how we can all unite and pledge to not allow this to happen in the future. And this is about racism, eliminating racism, understanding that the early incarceration of our young people is pushing into this industry of the jail industry and penitentiary industry and not something that we should be supporting. We need
right.
to reexamine laws, and we need to look at justice and making sure that there is equality for all. So the pledge is there. And I'll tell you, I'm reminded by a quote that Mamie Till said at the dedication of the Civil Rights Memorial was in 1989 in Montgomery, Alabama. And she said, and this is our mission, actually, of the foundation, is
right.
we cannot afford the luxury of self-pity. Our top priority now is to get on with the building process. My personal peace has come through helping boys and girls reach beyond the ordinary and strive for the extraordinary. We must teach our children to weather the hurricanes of life, pick up the pieces, and rebuild. We must impress upon our children that even when troubles rise to 7.1 on life's Richter scale, that they must be anchored so deeply that though they sway, they will not topple. That drives us, Carol, and we hope that that'll drive the nation as we move forward and support our children.
Deborah Watts, thank you. Deborah Watts, thank you so much for being a guest on my program. You have enlightened us quite a bit and reminded us that all of this is tied together historically in the contemporary times. And we wish you the very best with your work as the executive director of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Deborah Watts, thank you so much. All right. Well, we're going to move on and sort of tie this in with the importance of the March on Washington that's going to be commemorated this weekend. Actually, the activities start today and they culminate on next Wednesday, August 28th, which is the actual date that the march took place in 1963. I have a number of friends and colleagues who were there. I actually asked questions about this on Facebook. I have friends like Reverend Barbara Simmons, who is going to the march this weekend. Her church is just actually wanting her to go so that she can represent them. Edwina Mays was a young girl in Georgia when the march took place 50-plus years ago, and she has made some comments. So everyone sort of knows where you were. I was in Detroit, and I remember this march as a 9-year-old. I didn't turn 10 until August 21st, so right before the march took place. But prior to the March on Washington, as many of these statesmen did during that time, 100 years ago and certainly 50 years ago, is they would try out their speeches in different cities, or they would be invited to a particular city, they would have rallies, and they would give the same speech. So the I Have a Dream speech, which I'm not going to play today because you can find that anywhere, was actually tried out in different cities before Dr. King got to the March on Washington in August of 1963. One of the cities where he came and had a big rally was Detroit, Michigan, the town where I'm from. My uncle from Columbus, Georgia, who was a high school principal, a very respected high school principal at one of the segregated schools in Columbus, Georgia, was up visiting us in June of 1963, and I vividly remember him taking me to that march. I was 9 years old, but I remember all the kids and I remember all the people that is, and I remember just the massive number of people and that great speech, which was the beginnings of the I Have a Dream speech that then culminated in Washington, D.C. with Martin Luther King. So, again, I encourage you to go back and reread your history so that you can figure out the importance and the significance of it. But there were other people involved in that great march. 250,000 people were there. Dr. Martin Luther King was there, obviously, as the keynote speaker. Dr. Ralph David Abernathy, the closest associate to Dr. King, was also there. Dorothy Height, who was a great women's leader, National Council of Negro Women, that was her organization, and she was the past national president of Delta Sigma Theta sorority, my sorority. She was the only woman on the stage during that time period. You can see old pictures, and you see a woman who's just sort of angling her head with the hat on. That's Dorothy Height. The organizer of the march was A. Philip Randolph, who was the organizer of the Pullman Porters, the Brotherhood of Pullman Porters, those train wonderful men who served people on the trains. He organized them many years earlier and then was called in to organize this march in August of 1963. So there were many people involved in this activity. There were entertainers who were there. Marlon Brando was there. And I'm going to play a very short clip of Josephine Baker, who was a very powerful black woman during that time period. She's really the forerunner to Tina Turner. And she left the United States because there was just too much racism here, and she really built her career. She was a very exotic dancer, but a queenly woman, came back for this march. And so listen to her comments that she makes. This is Josephine Baker, August 28, 1963, at the March on Washington, a famous entertainer.
And now, to show the international character of the struggle in which we are currently engaged, I would like to introduce to you a person who, though far in residence from our shores, has come all the way from her home to be with us today, Miss Josephine Baker.
Thank you. I want you to know that this is the happiest day of my entire life. And as you all must know, I have had a very long life, and I'm 60 years old. The results today of seeing you all together is a sight for sore eyes. You're together as salt and pepper, just as you should be. Just as I've always wanted you to be, and peoples of the world have always wanted you to be. You are a united people, at last, because without unity, there cannot be any victory. I'm glad that in my homeland, where I was born and love and respect, I'm glad to see this day come to pass. This day, because you are on the eve of complete victory. And tomorrow, time will do the rest. I want you to know also how proud I am to be here today. And after so many long years of struggle, fighting here and elsewhere for your rights, our rights, the rights of humanity, the rights of man, I'm glad that you have accepted me to come. I didn't ask you, I didn't have to. I just came because it was my duty. And I'm going to say again, you are on the eve of complete victory. You continue on. You can't go wrong. The world is behind you.
That was the late, great Josephine Baker, who was one of the principal speakers at the August 28, 1963 March on Washington. And I encourage you to listen to some of the other speakers in addition to Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. Harry Belafonte, there were other entertainers who spoke, A. Philip Randolph. I would encourage you to listen to his remarks because he was the orchestrator of all of this. There would not have been a march had it not been for A. Philip Randolph. Read up on his history and learn about all of these important figures. And again, you have incidences that took place all over the United States. You have the Emmett Till murder that had happened certainly 8 years before this march happened. You have the Montgomery bus boycott that really took 13 months. It did not happen in 20 days. It happened between December of 1965 and November of around the same time period, November, December of 1956, when finally a court ruled that the segregation of buses was constitutional. And again, I'm going to plug this book again because I think it is so important. Go back and read A Team of Rivals, because that sets the stage of why this subject is so contentious and why it is embedded in the fabric of the United States and certainly has its tentacles that reach way outside of the United States. If you understand that, then this conversation will become more relevant and more meaningful, that 50th anniversary that's going to be celebrated, and you can celebrate it virtually. Just go to my website. You can go click through to that website where you can be a part of the social media campaign that will continue to highlight this march and just all of the other activities that took place, including the death of Emmett Till, all interrelated, all go back in time. But certainly the discussions that we're going to have going forward will help us to move to a better place in terms of certainly race relations and getting along as people. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll have another important show for you next week. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Take care.